Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
Yesterday, we began discussing the book, Dispelling the Myths of Abortion History, written by Villanova Law School professor Joseph Della Pena. In it, he exposes the legal, historical, and social lies on which Roe v. Wade rests. Professor Della Pena wrote of three major myths that have continued to buzz about Roe. The first, which we looked at yesterday, is the myth that many states were revisiting their abortion laws and many states were revising them to allow abortions. The fact is that only a handful of states had revised their laws to allow abortions under certain circumstances. In fact, in 1972, several states elected lawmakers who opposed repealing protective abortion laws. The second myth tackled by Professor Della Pena was the understanding of the right to privacy. The Supreme Court and legal scholars acknowledged that abortion laws would inevitably be declared unconstitutional using this concept. The fact is that 2 years after the decision in Griswold v. Connecticut, which found a right to privacy in the context of marital contraceptive use, the Supreme Court rejected the notion of any generalized constitutional right to privacy in the 1967 decision of Katz v. United States. Naturally, it would have been awkward to mention Katz 6 years later in the Roe opinion. Justice Blackmun ignored it, just as he ignored at least five prior Supreme Court decisions which had upheld or at least assumed the constitutionality of abortion bans by affirming criminal indictments, convictions, and/or loss of medical licenses for defendants who had performed abortions. Professor Della Pena notes that even a committee of the American Civil Liberties Union in 1967 concluded in almost unanimous agreement that restrictive laws are not unconstitutional on their face. The committee felt that society could decide to place such value on the life of the unborn child as to render abortion possible only in a narrow range of circumstances. And Cyril Means, law professor and author of the pseudo-history of abortion law and practice on which Justice Blackmun so heavily relied, wrote in 1967 that to claim abortion prohibitions unconstitutional would be perspicuously absurd. The third myth Della Pena addresses is that legalized abortion was inevitable because the medical profession by the 1960s strongly supported abortion reform. Prominent doctors even referred their patients to providers. But the fact is, according to Della Pena, physician support for the abortion bans was so obvious at the time that at least one abortionist attributed his conviction to the medical profession rather than to the policy, the lawyers, or the jury. Even Dr. Mary Calderon, the medical director of the Planned Parenthood Federation at the time, unequivocally condemned abortion as murder. So did Planned Parenthood's longtime president, Dr. Alan Guttmacher, who wrote in 1959 that he would vigorously oppose any proposal for the unrestricted legalization of abortion. Even as late as 1969, Guttmacher was writing that once fertilization had taken place, a baby has been conceived. Della Pena has a field day with one historian's claim that over 200 doctors, including some of Chicago's most prominent physicians and AMA members, referred patients for abortions. Della Pena points out that a footnote in the historian's book, which appears 162 pages later, reveals that the figure of 200 referrals were derived from only 70 patient records, which actually included only 18 referrals from doctors, only 11 of whom were named. Other referrals were from pharmacists and even beauticians. Della Pena's book shows us that the inevitability of abortion was not inevitable. We know that we'll once again return our society to one which welcomes unborn children in life and protects them in law, as former President George W. Bush often stated. But to do so, we need your help. Join National Right to Life and our nationwide network of 50 state Right to Life affiliates and more than 3,000 local chapters today. You can find out how at ProLifePerspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization.